So this morning, we've been talking the last few weeks about love and all the different things that God has told us to love. But now we want to talk this morning, this is going to be the last in our series on love, we want to talk this morning about what He told us not to love. In other words, there's many things that He tells us to be very fervent about in our love towards Him, towards the saints, towards husbands and wives and children and all these different things. There are many things He has told us to love and to be fervent about it. And there's also those things that He has told us not to love, that we can't love those things and be in His good graces. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus was letting them know, standing before the magistrates, answering those that were in charge, getting ready to go off the scene here, and He let him know, "My kingdom is not of this world. It's not from hence. It's not from here. Because if it were of this world, my servants would fight." But they could see that the servants weren't fighting. The servants weren't fighting to keep Him alive. They weren't fighting, banding together, going against the palace and against the guards and all these things to deliver Jesus out of their hands. His kingdom wasn't from here. His kingdom was from somewhere else. It was from out of this world. He came from heaven down here to redeem us back to God. So He was letting them know, "My kingdom is not of this world. It has nothing to do really in this world." God created the world and Adam and Eve, and He expected them to follow His ways, and they went off into sin. And since then, the world had been plunged into darkness, been plunged into sin, been plunged into all the evil things that the enemy could think of to perpetrate upon mankind. And God has been standing up, watching us, looking after us, trying to bring His understanding and His light to us, dealing with us and our souls and our spirits from the beginning, right after Adam and Eve until the end. He will be doing the same thing. So His kingdom isn't of this world. There are many, many places that believe that He's coming back and going to set up a kingdom here. Many places. There's a lot of maybe some good people that are living to all they know and understand, but they believe that Jesus is going to come back and set up His kingdom here. But His kingdom isn't of this world. It's not of this world. He can't rule over all the sinful people in the world, because God gave him free choice. So how can He rule over them? How can He tell them what to do? How can He rule over them and be a king here on earth when He's given them free will to follow Him if they want to or if they don't? So there are many teachings out there that express these things, but His kingdom is not of this world. In 1 John 2, 15 through 17 is our text today. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Love not the world. Now, it doesn't mean the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't mean that we can't express love. We can still express love and have some love for the world. We can still express love in proper ways. But what it means is that we don't have fervent love for God. If we still love the world, we do not have the fervent love for God, which was our very first lesson in love. That fervent, non-compromising love for God that we're supposed to have, it can't be divided. And if we love the world and the things that are in the world, the love for the Father is not in us. It is not in us like to its fullness. It is being dissected and interrupted in us. I have from Strong's dictionary, the world. I have a definition. It says the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, which, although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir desire, seduce from God, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. That's the world. That's the definition of the world in Strong's dictionary. Love not the world. For all that is in the world, for all that is in this here world, the lust of the flesh, in other words, my mind and my body, what feels good for me to think about, what titillates me and tantalizes me and makes me want to do certain things, go certain places, whatever it is, those things, that's the lust of the flesh. The flesh is gratified. Just the flesh is gratified. There's no spirituality in it. There's no redemption in it. There's no goodness that you can get out of it to pass on to others. It's just the world. The lust of the eyes. That includes all the things that our eyes can look upon. So many things. So many, as in this day and age, so many entertainments, things they didn't used to have 100 years ago. They didn't used to have a lot of these things. But entertainments and the TV and movies and sports and music world, it says the world of entertainment, the world of sports, the world of music, the fashion world. Do you know how that even the world themselves name what they are? They're the fashions of the world. That they name it that. They name it the world of sports. They name these things. They know what it is. They understand it very well. It does not have any redemption value. It has nothing that can offer us to help us along life's way. And they all of these things, the lust of the eye, all these things promote man. They promote man. They promote his strength, his endurance. They promote his skills. They promote all these things. And so many of them are all about the physical, or they are all about the ability to play a character. In other words, to lie to the people and say, this is who I am. And it's not who they are. And many times we see all these things and we understand all these things, but dear ones, we can't be saints if we haven't given some of these things up. We've all been dealt with about these things. Amen. And we've given them up. But have we done the fullness of what God wants? The fullness. His fullness. Are we meeting his justice in all of it? The lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life, which is position, prestige. I'm somebody in front of the people. I'm not somebody necessarily to God, and I'm basically nobody to the devil, because he doesn't care about any human being. But I'm somebody to my peers. I'm somebody important. I have risen above. I have gained ground. I am over you. I am better than you. I am more educated than you. I have more than you have. I have the ability to run my own life, and you're in a position where I tell you what to do. See, pride of life. Just thinking that the very fact that I live and I have gained some things in life gives me the authority or the ability or the desire to rule over you. Not a good place to be. Pride of life. And the world passes away. That's the thing we have to know. All of this is passing away. It's going to pass away one day. The Lord's coming back for a purified people, for a holy people. A people that do not love the world. They don't love it. They're looking to get out of it. They're looking for a time when they won't be bothered with it anymore. Because we're bothered with it on every hand. We see things. We hear things. We can get wrapped up in things. We can get wrapped up in thoughts and the way that the world looks at things and the way that they see things. And we can start choosing sides on the way the world looks at it. We can't do that. We have to choose a side the way God looks at it. We have to choose His side and how He sees it. We should ask before we get involved in anything where there's sides involved, ask the Lord, Lord, what do you see? What do you see, Lord? What do I need to concentrate on? You know, many times the news of the day, all the things that are going on, all the things that are out there, and all the ones, everybody's wanting somebody to choose a side. The world is full of division. The world is full of hatred and malice toward one another. Full of it. And here we are, stuck in the middle of it. And we need to be careful. Really, really careful. That they don't draw us out. That they don't draw us into their fights and their destruction of one another. Because if they're evil, if it's evil men riding up and doing evil things and wanting you to participate in evil, then we know that we can't be a part of that. There may be just causes. There may be all kinds of causes, but we pray for those causes. We don't get involved. We don't take a part in the division of the people on this earth. We do not take a part in that. We do not wish them evil. We do not wish them, even those that have perpetrated great evil, we do not wish them evil. We cannot and be a child of God. We cannot. Jesus did not wish anyone evil, even when they were doing all manner of things to Him and all. What did He say? Forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. Do you know that the people in this world really don't know what they're doing? They're to be pitied, and understand that they're to be pitied. They don't understand what they're doing. Many of them think that they're doing good. Many of them think that the lyrics of their song makes a difference in this world because it stirs up a certain thing, and they feel like that is really important in this life to have a voice out there that says this in music. But that isn't what's important. What is important is the Word of God. And what is important is that the voice of God be heard. Not the voice of entertainers, not the voice of people writing songs. It's about the voice of God being heard in holy and righteous songs, in holy and righteous books. God wants us to be separate from the world. It says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We that are doing the will of God will abide forever. All of this in the world is passing away. All these arguments are going to cease. All of these debates are going to stop. There isn't going to be any of them left. There aren't going to be any sides left. There's only going to be truth and error in the end. Truth and error. That's all there's going to be. And we need to be on the side of truth so that we can abide forever with the Lord. There isn't going to be anybody in hell still having lusts of the flesh. It's not going to be happening. They aren't going to have that. There isn't going to be anybody down there saying, oh, if I could just hear that old song that used to mean so much to me, if I could just hear that again. They aren't going to be saying that. There's not going to be any, you know, well, if I could just see this team beat the other team one more time. Do you think any of these frivolous things of the earth are going to mean anything to anybody who is in hell? We have a story in the Bible that tells us what they're thinking about in hell. He just wanted for one person to dip their finger in water and just touch his tongue. That's all they're thinking about there. There is none of this worldly stuff, all these things that took them away from God and seduced them away and caused them to not hear God's voice and caused them to be so tangled up in all that they ended up trapped in their sins and all. There won't be any of that there. The drinker won't have alcohol. The drug addict won't have drugs. All these earthly things are going to be gone. The politician won't think about what side he was on anymore. The leader of a country won't be thinking about how he wants to get over on the other country and how he wants to ridicule them and make them look foolish. And all they won't be thinking about any of those things. There won't be any secret plots to overtake this country and to invade here and to grab their resources and all these things. There won't be any of that there. All of the world will cease. And it will only be what is left. All that will be left is your soul. And the Lord says, love not the world. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, there are most of the world out there do not realize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. They don't even understand that concept. That's all they do is wrestle against flesh and blood. They're always having a fight with somebody, some country, some political party, some new advance this or new advance that. There's always somebody fighting. But it says we don't wrestle. We, the children of God, don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That isn't it. Even though our co-worker at work is really hard to work with, and even though I've had some reverses, and even though there's not harmony in my home, and even though there's all these things, we don't wrestle against people. We don't wrestle against them. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, we wrestle against the other spirit world. The other spirit world. We are of God in His spirit, but there is another spirit world. There is a world where the devil runs loose. There is a world where he has all of his imps and all that he sends out on missions, just like God sends his angels on missions to help us and bless us and work with circumstances and all the things he uses the angels for. The devil has those too. The devil has his angels, his imps, his spirits. And their principalities and powers and darkness, wickedness in high places here on the earth. The devil in all his forms, in all his evils. That's what we're wrestling against, dear ones. And when we are enticed and seduced by the world, it's the enemy of our soul doing that. It's some invention that he has come up with to take us away from God. There are men have made many, many inventions. Some of them are good. Some are there for the good. And some of them are seduce us away from God. And that's just the truth. There are many, many places out there that we indulge ourselves in things that ought not to be. We see things. We understand things. All of the play actors in the world, movie stars, and they get together and they have movies, and this one is playing the love interest of another one. And how many homes have been broken up over that? Yeah. Why? Because they're playing a part. They're playing a part. And they're touching people that are not their husband and not their wife. They're doing all those things. And people are watching it for pleasure. Do you know that the enemy has a right to be wherever his stuff is? So if adultery is happening in whatever, if you're watching something, adultery is happening in it, do you know the spirit of adultery has the right to be right there? sitting right there with you. He has the right to be there. You're watching his stuff. You're enjoying his stuff. You're being seduced by his stuff. You're getting feelings over his stuff. He has a right to be there. And people wonder why they had victory last week, and all of a sudden this week they're having all these temptations and all this stuff is going on, and what has happened? Maybe you invited the enemy in something that you allowed in your life. Yes. Something that you allowed. There are many, many spirits out there. They are attached to all the worldly things. Right. When we enjoy the things of the world that open up doors, it opens up doors for the enemy to come through and bother you in your life. He is allowed to do that when you open the doors. It's another thing if something in passing happens. It's another thing if something else is going on. But when you open the door, when you indulge, when you take part, you open the door. And the enemy, what happens in the scriptures, it says when a spirit comes in and there's nothing there to ward him off, that he can bring seven others more evil than himself. All right, so we're saved and we have the Holy Ghost. But if we're not careful, we'll indulge in some little thing and let the enemy in. And then we'll be paying for it for the next week or two while we try to get our footing back underneath this, while we try to fight off all the temptations, while we try to fight off things in our mind. And why we all of a sudden, I thought I had victory over this, and all of a sudden it's bothering me again. Yeah. Because the enemy can bring in back in that thing that you fought off. He can bring it back with him now. Took her a long time to get a hold of this. Took her a long time to get victory here. But she opened a door, and now I can invite that thing back in. And I can invite it back in to torment her again. Yeah. Or him. This world is dangerous. The things in this world are dangerous. We can open doors to allow the enemy in. You wonder why you don't have victory. You wonder why you don't feel like praying. You wonder why you don't feel like reading. Because the more we love the world, the less we love God. The more we love God, the less we love the world. That's just how it works. You get closer and closer to God, and the things of the world will mean less and less to you. A natural dying out of our love for the world. And that's a good thing. We don't get it all at once. Nobody claims to have it all at once. And we're constantly learning of extra things, more things, little things here and little things there, that we learn, oh, we can't indulge in that. That gives us problems. We have to get rid of that. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Dear ones, we realize when we get sanctified and we present our bodies and we ask the Lord to come in and we ask Him, the Holy Spirit, to come in and take over in our lives, we don't know what it all means yet. But we're going to find out. And He's going to continue to deal with us and help us to give up all the world. Doesn't happen in a split second. But He's going to teach you and lead you along the way. So, but you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means there's going to be some things that hurt. There's going to be some things you have to give up that you really, really like.
Yes, so.
You love.
Yeah.
You're going to be holy and acceptable to God, you're going to have to do that. I know a lot of people feel like that as long as I say I love God, and as long as I'm not out there committing horrible sins, that I can indulge in all kinds of private stuff that nobody else sees. But see, God sees. God knows. He understands. He knows what you're doing. He understands what's motivating it. And he knows that you do not have the love of God. We've been studying about the churches, and one of them had lost their first love. That's what happens. We begin to lose our first love, our love of God. And we begin to indulge in all those things out there in the world that are going to seduce us away from God. It says, be not conformed to this world. Conform means to have the mind and character of the world. Be not conformed to this world. It is hard to listen to all the news, all the fightings, all the bickerings, all the stuff that is going on in this world, and not take on some of the character of it. Not indulge in the fight. Not do something with that. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. In other words, change into another form. Transformed. Another word for it is metamorphosis. All children have been taught what metamorphosis is when the caterpillar turns into the butterfly. A totally different creature. Totally different creature. And when you saw a butterfly and you had a caterpillar on a branch and you saw a butterfly, you would never think they were the same. They are so different. That's what happens with us. And that's what should happen with all of the things that we're involved in out in the world. It all should change. Things should happen. It should be different. People should be able to say, and we've heard it many times. We heard it with Brother Nutt. His family or friends or whoever they were said, ask Sister Shirley, what have you done to him? She hadn't done anything. God did it. He changed him. He went from a caterpillar to a butterfly. They couldn't understand the change that had taken place. But that's what it means to be transformed. Change. Everything. The renewing of your mind. A complete change. Renewal. Complete change for the better. That you may prove what is that good. Good. Useful. Excellent. Honorable. That you may prove what is that good. And acceptable. And acceptable means agreeable and perfect will of God. Perfect integrity, virtue, full grown, complete in labor, growth, mental and moral character. Perfect will of God. We're going to have our minds renewed, but we can't do that if we're participating in the world and still going and enjoying all of the world's tantalizing, seducing practices. And don't say that they're not, because they are multi-million-dollar making industries. Multi-million-dollar industries have to have lots of followers to get that kind of money. And who are mainly the followers in this life? Who is the biggest group of people that they are marketing all of their things to? They are marketing them to the sinners, not the godly. They're not marketing to the godly. The sinners. What tantalizes them? What seduces them? What can we get them involved with? How can we get them in the fight? How can we get them to have favorite this, favorite actors, favorite sports teams, favorite everything, favorite singers, favorite kinds of music? How can we get them to change their fashions every year? First they're up and then they're down. Then they're short and then they're long. Yeah. First they're tight and then they're full. First they're this color and now this color is the new color of the season. And if I don't have that color, I have to go and buy new things. Yeah. That's the world. It won't mean anything. It's all going away. It's all going away. Nobody's going to think about the color of the season when they get to hell. Nobody's going to think about who their favorite this was or who their favorite that was. Their mind isn't going to go back over all the the time that they spent doing this or that, it's not going to matter there. The world is going away, dear ones. We can't love this world that is going to vanish. It's here for just a little while and then it's going away. And what are we doing while we're here? Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Crucified. Figuratively, it means to extinguish our passions and our selfishness. Crucified. I don't let my passions rule my life anymore. I don't let my selfishness rule my life anymore. I don't let my likes and dislikes rule my life anymore. I used to love sweets, but I found out I can't eat it all the time. So am I going to let my love for it to keep destroying me and making me sick, or am I going to give it up? That's just a small thing. We're talking about things that can go in and disrupt the soul, not just hurt your body. But they can disrupt your soul. They can make you lose out. They can make you get into a place to where you don't have what you need when you come down to the day that you're going to walk out of this life. You won't have what you need. All right, Galatians 4:4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. That means faithless and ungodly.
Yes.
You faithless and ungodly. Know you not that the friendship or fondness of the world is enmity with God? And in other words, it's hostile to God. Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world, another actively fond, whosoever shall be a friend actively fond of the world, is the enemy of God, a hostile opposer. These are very strong, strong words. I know sometimes we read over things in the Bible and we give it a very light consideration. And we don't take the depth of the words that God used and preserved for us to hear. We don't take it to its fullness. But it says here, if you have friendship, then you're hostile towards God. Now, dear ones, I know that we don't learn all these things overnight. I know we don't get the grace we need overnight to give up this thing or that thing. I understand that. We all understand that. But I want you to know, this is what I want you to know. That if you are still a friend, maybe you have given up this worldly thing and that worldly thing, but if you still have one thing that you're still friendly with the world about, just quite cannot get there, you are a hostile opposer to God. That's what these scriptures are saying. And we need to understand that God has grace to cover that for a while, but He won't cover it forever. He won't cover it forever. It's only for a while, for a period of time. A time that He wants to give you grace and understanding and bring you closer to Him, but He won't cover it forever. We cannot be friends with the world and all its things in the world. We can't be friends with those things. We can't be friends with the mindsets of the world. We can't be friends with their fights. We can't be friends with their divisions. We can't do that. We are children of the Most High God. We are His representatives here on earth. We are the ones who are supposed to be able to teach all that Jesus taught in the Word. But if you're indulging in all these things, you aren't going to be able to teach this part of the Word. And God says you're an enemy if you don't teach this part of the Word. You're an enemy to Him. Because the world, this sinful world, is set up to entice us away from God. It is set up to seduce us away from God. It is set up to destroy us and cause us to destroy our own lives, chasing after things that have no meaning.
Yes, that's so.
And the Lord says, don't love this world. Don't love this world. We're going to end in John 17. John 17, 14 through 19. This is Jesus talking. He's talking to his Father, all in red. And he says, I have given them thy word. He's talking to his Father. I've given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, detests and persecutes them, hates them. Because they are what? Not of the world. Don't expect to be liked. Don't expect to be respected. There was a time when people that were religious were respected. Don't expect it anymore. The devil's been getting away from there for a long time. And now it's persecution time. Don't expect it. The world's going to hate you. Why? Because you're directly opposed to everything they stand for. That's why. You're directly opposed. You don't have the same loves they have. You don't have the same ambitions they have. You don't have the same arguments they have. You know how it is. Somebody's getting in an argument about something. This one's saying that, and that one's saying that, and they turn to you and they say, what do you say? And you come off with a third argument. God is the answer. And they both hate you at that point. Even though they are not united in any way. But right then, they both hate you. Because you have a third perspective than what they have. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Down through the histories of time, there have been men that have separated themselves from the world. They've gone off into obscurity. They've gone off and had formed missions and, I forget the other word, monasteries, things like that, where they're there all by themselves, and all they do, they have no outside influences whatsoever, and all they have is their daily devotions and their calls to prayer, and they eat and they sleep. That's what they do. But you know what? If they're not saved, the arguments are still there. And even if they're not allowed to talk, they're still going on in their minds. They're just not allowed to speak about it. Men have seen the wisdom of getting away from the world. That how can you be close to God when you're all involved in the world? They have seen the wisdom of this. They have tried many things to try to stop it, to stop the influence. But Jesus didn't say, he didn't say, go out and form communes and all these things and separate yourself out of the world and I'll be there with you and we'll just be our little group and let everybody else just go the way they're going. That isn't what he said.
No.
He said, I'm not going to take him out of the world. But I'm going to keep them from the evil.
Amen.
I'm going to show them what the evil is. I'm going to show them where the devil lurks. I'm going to show them where he's lurking and tantalizing them and seducing them away and wasting hours and hours and hours of their time. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Video games and Facebook and all those things. All the gaming stuff. Hours and hours and hours of people's time wasted. Time when God could have talked to them. Time when God could have dealt with their hearts. But they fill up their life and they are seduced. And it's habit forming. It is habit forming. You just try and give it up. You'll find out how much of a habit it is. You'll find out what kind of a draw, what kind of a hold it has on you. And I want you to know something. Inanimate objects can't have a hold on you. What you're feeling is the spirit behind it. That's what has the hold on you. It's not the inanimate object. The game could sit there all day and have no power over you. You allow it into your life, and it becomes habit forming because of the spirit that is attached to it. Don't you know that the devil has all these spirits attached to all of these worldly, different types of worldly inventions to occupy what? Our minds. And what does God say to do with our minds? It says to draw it in. It says to keep it stayed on God. How can you keep it stayed on God when it's for hours and hours somewhere else? How can you do that? This is the world, dear ones. And he said, I'm not going to take them out of the world, but I'm going to give them the power and the grace that they need to keep them from the evil that's in the world.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to help them to do.
Amen.
They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. What does it mean to be sanctified?
Set apart.
You are set apart from the world. But if I still am friendly a little over here, and I'm still friendly a little over there, I'm not completely set apart, am I? I'm not completely given over, am I? Set apart for God's use.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. You get yourself tangled up in some of these places, and you will be no good for the Lord to use you. You'll get a phone call, and you won't have on hand what you need when that phone rings. You won't have it. Somebody will be in distress. You won't have what you need because you've been indulging in this little thing all day. Lord, help us. The commandment is love not the world. He commands us to love many things, but he's very adamant on the world. He said, do not love it. Don't even be a friend to it. We can be a spiritual friend to everyone, to all the people. He wants us to deal with the people. He wants us to be friendly with them. He wants us to lure them. He wants us to seduce them away from the world and into God. But if we're out there enjoying the same worldly pleasures with them at the same time, how is that going to seduce them away from it? How is that going to take them away from it? Oh, I only did it this one time, or I only do it ever so often. But you're being friends with it, and they think it's all right to be friends. But you can't, can you? When there's a really wicked, wicked person in the neighborhood, you can't be friends. You can't be friends. You can pray for them. You can be helpful to them in different ways that the Lord shows you, but you can't be their friend. Friendship means that there's something in me that matches something in you. And that's why he says you can't be friends with the world, because what is in the world does not match what's in you. So it's opposing. It can't work. So the commandment is love not the world.
Amen.
Amen.